Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Kamma Daf Yud Daled, and we will begin on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, 7 lines from the bottom, Amamar. The Gemara continues analyzing the Braisa, Amamar. Kishchizek Hava Mazik, the Mishnah used the words Kishchizek Hava Mazik, that when somebody does damage, he's obligated to pay for that damage, compensate for the damage. And the Braisa said that these words of the Mishnah came to teach us Lahavi, Shoymer Chinam, Vashoyel, Noisesacher, Vasoicher, the various different categories of Shoymerim that the Torah speaks about. Ask the Gemara Hechidam exactly what are the circumstances that is being referred to with these Shoymerim. Ilema, if you'll perhaps suggest that referring to situation, to ask a Torah the Mashal, the Torah the Shoyel. That the Braisa speaks of a case in which the lender's axe damaged the borrower's axe, and the Braisa is teaching us that the lender has to pay the borrower for the damages that his axe has done. Ask the Gemara, that's difficult to understand. Why should the lender be chayiv? Lamele, why can't the mashal, the lender, say to the borrower, the shoyl, Ila Azak Ba'alma, if my axe did damage to someone else's axe, Bois L'Shlumei At, you, the Shoyel, by borrowing the axe, become responsible for what the axe does. So Hashka the axe, so it's you're the responsible party. So Hashka the axe L'Tur the Doch, so now that my axe damaged your axe, being a L'Shlumei, do I have to pay? I don't have to pay. You have to pay. I no longer am responsible because the responsibility shifts from the mashal to the shoyl. Ella, it's referring to a case, says the Gemara, to ask a Torah the shoyl, the Torah the mashal, where the shoyl's, the borrower's axe, did damage to the mashal's axe. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, lemalei, why can't the mashal tell the shoyl? Il atzke ma'alma. Let's say my axe, the mashal's axe, which is now under the care of the shoyl, was damaged. Bois l'shlumei kol ha'tayra. The shoyl has to repay to the mashal for the entire value of the axe. No matter if the axe was damaged by Keren, by Tam, or a Muad. Where even though normally, as we have been learning, and will be learned, and will learn in Mitzvah Hashem, the halacha is that there's a difference between a Tam and a Muad. That's if one person's axe damages another person's axe. But a Shoyl, as we know, is completely responsible for whatever happens to the item that he borrowed while it's under his care. And in fact, explains the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, we can now understand why our Gemara is focused in explaining this Braisa on the case of Shoyl and Mashal. Because it's interesting to note, he says, we began the shiur saying that the Braisa comes to, that the Mishnah comes to speak about all different types of Shomrim. And even though we said the Braisa is speaking about all different types of Shomrim, when we actually came to discuss we only spoke about Shoyl. Why doesn't the Gemara choose to speak and explain that the regarding how the Mishnah could be understood with one of the other types of Shomrim? Says the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, because the point that our Gemara is actually making now, that since I'm the Shoyl, I'm completely responsible, so how could the Mishnah, how could the Mishnah say, has to ask a Torah the Doch, Palganis Gudim Shams Lay? Now, if it was your Tam that damaged my axe, you should only pay, that the Mishnah says, you only pay Chatzi Nezek, it's not true. A Shoyl pays Nezek Shalim. There's an interesting discussion amongst the Rishonim and the Achronim, how does it actually work if I am the Shoyl of someone's axe? And while I'm watching that person's axe, that axe got damaged by another axe, Who has to pay the mashal? Does it work with the concept that the mazik has to pay the mashal? Or does it work that the mazik has to pay the shoyl, and the shoyl has to pay the mashal? From our Gemara, it seems that the shoyl that has to pay the mashal, and therefore perhaps, maybe if the shoyl only collects chatzi mezik, he has to pay mezik sholim, the difference, he has to deliver to the mashal mezik sholim. But again, the Gemara's question is, if the Mishnah are referring to a case where the axe of the shoyl damaged the axe of the mashal, why is there a concept of chatzi nezek? It always should have to be nezek sholim. Answers the Gemara, loylam aski the tar the mashal tar the shoyl. It's referring to a situation where the mashal's axe did damage to the shoyl's axe. We asked, it's the shoyl who's responsible for the mashal's axe now, so why would the mashal be responsible to pay? Says the Gemara, v'achem ma'iskin, as Mishnah is referring to a case, shekibal of shmiris gufoy, where the shoyl accepted upon himself that to protect that nothing should happen to the shoyl's, to the mashal's axe, nothing should happen to the mashal's axe. However, v'lekibal of shmiris nezakov, he did not accept upon himself responsibility that if that axe, if the mashal's axe does damage, that won't be his responsibility. Rather, that will remain the responsibility of the mashal. In fact, Tosfos points out that the Gemara, why didn't the Gemara say that it's referring to a case where the shoyl accepted upon himself responsibility if the mashal's axe does damage, but did not accept responsibility on himself that if something will happen to the mashal's axe, and then it would be the shoyl who would be responsible if this axe does damage? Says Tosfos, it's highly unlikely to have a situation that a shoyl will accept upon himself responsibility for damage that the mashal's axe does, but not responsibility for what happens to it. It's more likely to have a reverse case that accepts responsibility for what will happen to it, but not accept responsibility for what it does. In fact, the Rishonim discuss how to understand the responsibility that a shoyl accepts. Do we understand, and this is the opinion of most Rishonim, that under normal circumstances the shoyl accepts upon himself full responsibility, both for what will happen to the axe of the mashal and what the axe of the mashal will do. And our Gemara, however, is referring to a situation where they enter this relationship with the shoyl accepting explicitly upon himself only limited responsibility, only responsibility for what will happen, not what it will do. However, there are other Rishonim that suggest that no, the responsibility of the shoyl is only what is clearly spelled out by the shoyl. If the shoyl accepts upon himself full responsibility, then he's responsible. But if he doesn't accept upon himself full responsibility, we do not automatically assign to him full responsibility. Ask the Gemara, Ihochi, if that's the way we're going to understand the Braisa, Amos Sefer, let's continue learning the Braisa. The Braisa made the following distinction. Nifritza Belaila, if the wall which was enclosing where the animal was broken during the night, Osha Petzul Listen, or was broken by robbers, the Yotz of Azika, and then it goes out and does damage, Potter. Habayoy, but if it did damage, then the shoyl would be potter. Habayoy, if it happened by day, then the shoymer would be chayiv. Halay kibal of shmiris nezakov. But why would it be responsible even if it happened by day? Aren't we referring to a situation that he did not accept upon himself this responsibility? So the Rishonim ask the obvious question. They ask, aren't we speaking about a case here where he took, aren't we referring here to a case where he took upon himself, the mashal has the responsibility. So So why are we disturbed in trying to understand that the child didn't take upon himself responsibility? And since he didn't take upon himself responsibility, how do we understand the Braisa? We're not talking about the Shoyl, we're talking about the Mashal. So I saw two Terutzim in the Rishonim, and it's interesting to note the two Terutzim in the Rishonim really reflect two opposite sides of the spectrum in understanding how to understand the Gemara. Some Rishonim understand that although the Braisa is making a distinction between what happens by day versus what happens by night, that distinction can be made by the Shoyl, because the Shoyl has the axe in his under his responsibility. So by day he should be completely aware of what is happening, and therefore if the axe does damage by day, he's chayiv. By night he isn't aware of what's happening, and that's why he's potter. But the mashal, on the other hand, the shor is not in the lender's domain. The lender gave the shor to the shoyl. And therefore some Rishonim suggest that the mashal is always exempt. You can't say that he'll be chayiv by day. He can't know, the axe is not in his care. And therefore he's exempt both by day and by night. That's one approach I found in the Rishonim. Another approach in the Rishonim is just the opposite. The shoyl, we could distinguish between day and night, as we just did. Because we could say the shoyl has the axe under his care. And as the Mefarshim help us understand the Gemara, the Mefarshim explained that the wall that we're referring to here is a wall that was in strong shape. Because if the wall was a weak wall, then he would always be responsible. Why did you put the axe in a place where it could do such damage? And therefore, we can make a difference between day and night. The mashal, however, because the shoyl accepted only limited responsibility, and the mashal understood and agreed to enter into this relationship with that understanding, so the mashal, when entering in this relationship with this understanding that he remains responsible for the actions of the shor, and not only does he remain responsible for the actions of the shor, but the shor is not in his domain, so his responsibility in fact becomes a more serious responsibility, because he should know that something could happen with the shor. So we don't understand why did we distinguish between day and night. Says the Gemara, Hachikama. This is the way to understand the Braisa. Ikibalov Shmiris Nazakov, if unlike the previous case of the Braisa, where the Shoyl did not accept upon himself responsibility for damage that the axe does, but we're referring to a case where the Shoyl does accept upon himself responsibility, as is normally the case. Nifritza Belaila, Ashbetzul Listen, if it was broken by night or was done by robbers, the Yotzva Zika Potter, he's Potter because he had no way of knowing. So ask the Mashal, if this is the case that Rice is referring to, that the Shoyl accepted upon himself full responsibility, so obviously we know he's Chayev. What is the Chiddush of the Braisa? Answers the Mashal that we would think that the mazik, that the shoyl only accepted upon himself responsibility that if something will happen to the acts of the shoyl, then he's responsible. But he won't be responsible if it does damage to others, that he should accept such wide responsibility. Teaches us the Braisa, that in a case where a shoyl accepts himself responsibility, his responsibility is to any damage that it does. The Gemara quoted, the Braisa quoted, the Gemara quoted a machloikis, not the Braisa, the Gemara quoted a machloikis of Lozen of Chizda about what is the din of Shein V'Regel that was done in the Rishus of Shutfim. That the Mazik and Nizik are Shutfim, and Shein V'Regel were done in that area. Is there responsibility for Shein V'Regel or not? So Rav Shlosser says that there is no obligation of Shein V'Regel the Chotzer HaShutfim. Ask the Gemara Eini, is Rav Shlosser's opinion correct? V'Tanya Rav Yosef, we learned in a braisa from Rav Yosef, Chotzer HaShutfim V'Pundik, a chotzer which is owned by shund, by partners or indik or pundik of in chay ben al shem v'regel. So here Bryce clearly says that there is a chiyuv of shem v'regel by chotzer shotim. To yufta the Rebbe Lazar, isn't this a this is a clear refutation of the opinion of Rebbe Lazar? Amlach Rebbe Lazar responds Rebbe Lazar, v'tizbro. Is this really a refutation of my opinion? Masnisa milai pligi, I will find you a braisa that clearly corroborates my opinion. Because of Atanya, we learned in a braisa, and the Gemara is actually going to work for a while on this braisa. Abba klolos hayyub shimben loza emu v'nezokim. Shimben loza set four rules regarding the halachas of nezokim. Kol shol rishus l'nizik v'loy l'mazik. If this is a property that, if this is an area that the, for the nizik and not for the mazik, chayiv b'kol. Then there's chayiv for shein v'regel and for keren. The mazik v'loy l'nizik. If this is an area where the mazik may enter and not the nizik, potter m'kol. Then the mazik is potter. As we've learned many times, the concept torch v'rishusi my boy. The mazik can tell the nizik, why was your axe in my property? If it's an area that's for both of them, kigoyim chotzer ashutfim v'abika potabal hashem v'regel, he's exempt from shem v'regel. However, v'al negicha v'al negifa al neshicha v'al revitz v'al abita, all different forms of keren tam mishalom chatzin nezek mu'ud mishalom nezek sholeh loy lezeh v'loy lezeh. If it's an area for neither, this will be explained later in the Gemara. Kigoyin chotzer she'enish l'shneim, chayiv b'al shem v'regel. There's responsibility for shem v'regel, al negicha v'al neshicha v'al negicha v'al revitz v'al abita. Or again, all different situations of keren, tam mishalom chatzi nezek, mu'ud mishalom nezek shalom. K'tanimis. However, the third case that was mentioned in this braisa was chotzer shutfim v'abika. And it was clearly mentioned there the potabo al hashem v'al regel. So Rabbi Loza says clearly this braisa corroborates my opinion that says that by chotzer shutfim there's no obligation of shem v'regel. Ask the Gemara kasha hadadi, and actually the rishonim have a machloikis how to understand this kasha hadadi. Some rishonim suggest that this is the Gemara's question. We began this sugya saying that a chotzer hashutfim, the braisa says, is chayiv, and here we clearly have a braisa that says that a chotzer hashutfim is potter. So the Gemara's question is there a way of reconciling these two braisas? That's one approach in Rishonim. Another approach in Rishonim is that this question is actually being asked now by Rebbe Lazar. And what Rebbe Lazar is actually saying is that we began the sugya with saying that Rebbe Lazar's opinion seems to be refuted. Now says Rebbe Lazar, not only is my opinion not refuted, because we clearly now found a braisa that corroborates his opinion, but actually Rebbe Lazar is going a step further. He's saying, is there a way of reconciling that even the first braisa that we quoted here should be able to, my opinion should be able to be consistent even with that braisa? Says the Gemara, that indeed, we could explain that that braisa is talking about a kitanya hi. That braisa is referring to a situation, b'chotz miyuchetz lezeh lezeh, bein leperis bein leshvar. The braisa that we just learned is referring to a case where both the mazik and the nizik can bring into that chotzer both their peiris and their shvar. And therefore, the halacha is that there's no chiyuv for shem v'regel. Hayhidi Rabbi Yosef. However, the first price that we quoted, the brisa of Rabbi Yosef, is referring to a situation b'chotzim yuchades leperis. They both could bring in their peris there. V'enim yuchades leshvarim, but they can't bring in their oxen. So therefore, delgab shein, as far as shein is concerned, have a chotzer nizik. It's considered the chotzer nizik, since he was not allowed to bring his axe in there. Therefore, when he did bring his axe in there, and it did damage to the nizik's peiris, the mazik is responsible. So, in other words, we're explaining there are two types of chotzer shutfin. There's one situation, chotzer shutfin, where they could bring both peiris and shorim, and there's another situation of chotzer nizik, where they could only bring peiris and not shorim. Potter shem regel is when you can bring both peiris and shorim. Chayiv is when you can only bring peiris and not shorim. And says the Gemara, Dekanami, if we really look at the brises carefully, we'll see that the brises actually point in that direction, that this is the different two situations that the brises are referring to. So let's look at the brises. In the case when Rabbi Yosef spoke about Chotzer Shutvin, he used together Chotzer Shutvin v'apundik. A pundik, as we said, is a hotel. In a hotel, you bring peiris, but you won't bring oxen. V'ktani hasam, but in the brayser of Shimon ben Lazar, when we spoke about Chotzer Shutvin, we compared it to a bikkah. A bikkah is an open field where not only are peiris brought, but even shoyrim abroad. Shema mina, this is a way of explaining the two brises. Maskler of Zera asks Rav Zera, given the miyachadus leperis, we explained that Rav Yosef's brisa is referring to a case where both the mazik and the nizik could bring their peris there, but they can't bring their oxen there. Ask them, and therefore there's a chiv for shein v'regel. Ask the Gemara if they could bring their peiris there, habi'inen, or bi'abestayacher. We know, as we learned already at the beginning of the Masechta, when is there a responsibility for shem v'regel? When the Torah says, u'bi'abestayacher, it should be someone else's field. V'leka, but this is not a stayacher. Why isn't it a stayacher? Because I could bring my peiris there. So since I could bring my peiris there, it's not called a stayacher. So why would the mazik be chayiv for shem v'regel in such a field? Omalei Abaya responds Abaya, kiven the enem yichedus l'shvorim. Since it's not a field that you could use for oxen, steyach kurinbe. It is considered a steyach. And the achroinim explain the machloikis, the question between Reb Zeir and Abaya in two different ways. Reb Arya Leib Malin explains it this way. Reb Zeira understood that what qualifications are needed for something to be considered a stay acher, you have to have two qualifications. One qualification is that the nizik could have his peiris there. Another qualification is that the mazik may not enter there. And therefore the Gemara asked, in this case, the mazik may enter there. He may bring his peiris there, and therefore it should not be considered a stay acher. On that, the Gemara answered, on that Abaye answers, that since the mazik has only limited rights, the mazik can only bring his peiris there, but he can't bring his oxen there, it still falls under the category of stay acher. Rabbi Chanan explains the shakl v'tari between Rabbi Zeir and Abaye differently. He says, the machlokes between them is, how do we understand what the Torah says, "Ubinin b'steyacher"? Is it referring to the mazik, or is it referring to the thing that gets damaged? Rav Zeira holds that it refers to the thing that gets damaged, and since the mazik could also bring his peiris there, it's not considered ubinin b'steyacher, because the item that got damaged wasn't in Stayachir. He wasn't in a field that isn't accessible to the Mazik. Abaya holds that it's talking about the thing that does the Hezek. And since the Shor that does the Hezek has no right to go to this field, because the Mazik only has a right to bring payers to the field, he doesn't have a right to bring Shorim to the field, it falls under the category of Binim Stayachir. So now says the Gemara, Omer of Achim Adifta L'Ravina, Lame the Misnitzin Lai Pligi. Now that we've been able to successfully explain that there is no machloikis between the two brises, Amiroi Nami Lai Pligi, why don't we say that there's no machloik between Abai, Rav Chizda, and Rav Elazar? Omlein. So the Gemara, indeed, now that we've successfully explained the two brises to be able to work together, we could say that there's no machloikis between Rav Elazar and Rav Chizda. And if you will say that they're arguing, as it seems from the Gemaras that we've learned, the Kashdra of Zeru Pukad Abaya Pligi, as the Rishonim explained, the Rishonim and the Echlonim, they will only be arguing in a specific situation. They'll be arguing in a situation where they both have a right to bring the Paris, but they don't have a right to bring the Shoyrim. And the Machloikas will be, is this considered Bibestay Achru or not? Rav Chizda will say that this is considered stay acher, as Abaye explained, and Rebbe Lozer will hold, as Rebbe Zeira pointed out, that this is not considered a situation of Biba stay acher, and therefore the mazik will not be chayiv for shame v'regel. So Gufa, as we quoted the Bryce earlier, Rav Shimon Lozer said, Abba Klosa, Rav Shimon Lozer, Oyman Nezokim. Koshu Rishus L'Nizik L'Loy L'Mazik, any area that the mazik, that the Nizik could be the not the Mazik, Chai Bakol. Ask the Gemara, shouldn't the wording of the Braisa have been Alakol? Alakol, however, points out the Gemara Loiktani. That's not the wording the Braisa used. El Chai Bakol. The Braisa's wording was that Yechayiv in full. Bekulei Nezik. Yechayiv Nezik Sholem. Mani. So whose opinion does this reflect? Says the Gemara, it reflects the opinion of Rav Tarfani, who we're going to learn later in our Masechta, that even though we've been learning that by Keren there's a difference between a Tam and a Muad, that a Tam pays Chatzi Nezik and a Muad pays Nezik Sholein. However, says Rav Tarfin, that if the Keren was done B'chotzer HaNizik, that even a Tam pays Nezik Sholein. Says the Gemara, that's what the Braisa means with saying the words Chai Bakoil, to teach us that he pays Nezek Sholem even for Keren if the damage was done by Shus HaNizek. Nezek Sholem Shalom. Eima Sefer asked the Gemara, if that's Pshat in the Braisa, let's go on to the fourth case of the Braisa. Loy Lezer, if it's an area that neither of them could be going Chotzer Sheinu Shel Shneihem, that Chotzer doesn't belong to neither of them, Chai Baal Shem V'Regel. Ask the Gemara, my loy lezev loy lezev. What does the Braisa mean with this case? Ilem loy lezev loy lezev klal, that neither of them has any rights to be there. El de Acher, it refers to a third party's property. Havina or be a stay Acher. It has to be that it should be in the Rishus HaNizik to be Chayiv for Shem V'Regel. V'Leka, it has to belong to Rishus HaNizik. Here it doesn't belong to the Nizik, so why would it be Chayiv Hashem V'Regel? Ela Pshita, Loy Lezeh V'Loy Lezeh. It doesn't belong to both of them. El Dechad. It only belongs to one of them. To whom? To the Nizik. Yet, what does the Braisa say in this case? V'Ktani Sefer, Tam Mishalim, Chatzi Nizik, Umud Mishalim Nizik Shalim. So we see here that even in the Chotzer HaNizik, we still have the din that a Tam pays Chatzi Nizik, Osnum Rabbonim. Isn't that the opinion of the Rabbonim? The Amri, Mishuna, Kerem B'chotzer HaNizik, Chatzer HaNizik, Chatzi Nizik, Kudu Mishalim, that even B'chotzer HaNizik, a Tam only pays Chatzi Nizik. So ask the Gemara, we have here a problem. The Reisha, we explained, follows the opinion of Rav Tarfin. The Sefer was saying, follows the opinion of the Rabbonim. Answer the Gemara, in. That is the way to understand the Mishnah, the Braisa, Damalai Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda. As we find Shmuel said to Rabbi Yehuda, he called him Shinana. There are many different reasons why he called him Shinana, either because he had sharp teeth or because he was very sharp. Shvaik Masnisin Vesar Basroi. We have a situation where Rabbi Yehuda was trying to explain that the entire Mishnah should follow one opinion, and he says, don't try Reisha Rab Tarfin to save Rabbanim. Rather, the Reisha follows the opinion of Rab Tarfin, and the Sefer follows the opinion of Rabbanim. Says the Gemara, Ravina Mishmed Rav Amma. However, Ravina says in the name of Rava, Kula Rab Tarfin. The entire Braisa can follow the opinion of Rab Tarfin. What does the Braisa mean in the case of my Loy Lezev, Loy Lezev? What does the Braisa mean when it speaks about Loy Lezev, Loy Lezev? It means Loy Lezev, Loy Lezev, Loy Lezev, El Dechad. It refers to a case that it's not the place for Paris only for one of them. Only a Nizik may bring in Paris there. However, Zel Zel is Shvarim. But they most, the Mazik and the Nizik, can bring in their Shvarim. So the Gab is Shein, as far as Shein type of damages, Havle Chatzar and Nizik, it's considered Chatzar and Nizik, because only the Nizik is allowed to bring his Paris. And as the Rishonim explained, when it says here shame, it means any type of damage that affects the payrus. For as far as that is concerned, it's the Nizik's property, because the Mazik is not allowed to bring his payrus there. The Gabi Karen, however, as Karen's concerned, since both the Mazik and the Nizik may bring their Shoyrim into this property, therefore, Havalei Rishus HaRabim, it's considered a Rishus HaRabim, and therefore, the dinim of Keren that we distinguish between Tam and Muad apply. This is the way Rashi said, explains the Gemara. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with this approach. He says that if the Mazik is allowed to bring his animals into the field, we can't hold him responsible if he does damage to the payris of the Nizik, because the Mazik had a right to bring his shoyrim there. So Tosfos is asking an excellent question of Rashi. How do we explain Rashi? So the Muki Yosef explains that even though we're referring to a case, according to Rashi, that the Nizik could bring the payris and his shoyrim, and the Mazik could only bring his shoyrim, it's referring to a case that when could the Mazik bring his shoyrim there? Only in a case where the Nizik did not bring in Paris. Since the Nizik brought in Paris, under those circumstances, the Mazik did not have a right to bring his Shoyrim, and if he did bring his Shoyrim, and they did do damage, he will be held responsible. There's only a machloikis in the Achroinim, how to understand in the Muki Yosef Pshat. Do we understand in the Muki Yosef to be referring to a case where this was clearly stipulated between the Mazik and the Nizik, that the Mazik can only bring in his shoyrim there when the Nizik doesn't have Paris there? Or is there even no need for such a stipulation? It's self-understood that he can't bring his shoyrim into this field if the Nizik already has his Paris there. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi, if so, we need to understand that the Braisa began with Arba. That the Braisa says that we're talking about four rules, Shlosha Hava, there's really only three cases. There's the Nizik's property, there's the Mazik property, and there's the property that has this, then there's the property that they have they have a Shutfis, and then we have the fourth case. So if we explain the Gemara as the Gemara explained earlier, that the first case is going according to Tarfin, and the last case is going according to Rabbanon, we could understand why the first case and the fourth case were both mentioned. But if now we're explaining that the first case and the fourth case all reflect the opinion of Rab Tarfin, so what is new in the fourth case that hasn't been referred to earlier? Answers the Gemara, Arav Nachman Yitzchak, Shloish Shloklolois, Barav Mekoymus. There are really only three rules, but we identified four places. We spoke about the case of Tzachotzer and Nizik. We spoke that there's always full responsibility to the Mazik. We spoke about a case of Chotzer HaMazik, where he's always exempt. And then we spoke about a case about a Chotzer HaShutfim, where there's a Chiyah for Karen, and there's no obligation for Shane the Regal. And then we spoke about this fourth case, but where there's this limited partnership for Paris, but not for Shoyim. The next Mishnah is a very interesting Mishnah. The Mishnah here refers to, mentions many, many rules in a very ambiguous way. And then the Gemara, Beis HaShem Yisbarach, will explain each of the rules. Says the Gemara, Shum Kesef, monetary assessment. Shava Kesef, another din, something worth money. A third din, B'fnei Bezdin. A fourth din, Api Eidim. A fifth din, B'nei Chayrim, B'nei Bris. A next din, V'anoshim, B'chlal HaNezek. Women are included in the halachas of Nezakin. V'anizek v'amazek v'teshlumim, and the Nizek and the Mazek both participate in paying by a hezek. These are all the dinim of our Mishnah. Again, we really haven't explained much, but the Gemara is going to explain every one of these dinim. The first thing that we mentioned was Shum Kesef. Ask the Gemara, what does this mean? Amar Yehuda, Shum Zu Lo Yehei El B'Kesef. The Mishnah is teaching us that we always make this assessment. The assessment for damages is always done by making a monetary assessment. And the Mefarshim, and trying to understand this Gemara, we perhaps could explain it with some Halacha L'maisa. Let's say I do damage to your suit. You have a suit. It's a very nice suit. But it's a suit that you already own and you already wear. It doesn't really have much value. Because Baruch Hashem, most people nowadays, when they buy a suit, buy a new suit. They don't buy secondhand suits. In fact, there are certain items that are never bought secondhand. A great example would be contact lenses. Contact lenses, lenses that were worn by an individual, nobody else is ever going to, first of all, they're unique to that individual's eyes and to that individual's prescription, and another person is not going to wear those contact lenses. Our Mishnah, tells the Chazon Ish, teaches us that damage is always evaluated by the worth, the financial damage. And in fact, it would be hard to understand how can we assess the value of a secondhand suit. So I sort of Paiskim point out that how much would I be willing to pay that my suit should not get damaged, that I shouldn't have to go buy a new suit? How much would I pay not to have my contact lenses ruined so I shouldn't have to buy a new pair of contact lenses? That's called monetary assessment. In fact, the Paiskim point out that let's say somebody owns a picture that to him has a very great sentimental value. It's a picture of a family member or whatever. But to the rest of the world, that picture really doesn't have much value. The halacha would be that it's a big aveira to damage the picture. It's a big aveira to do hezek. But I would not be held responsible if I do damage that picture, because we always make the assessment, teaches us our Gemara, based on what the Mishnah says, Shum Kesef. The valuation is always made with a financial assessment. Says the Gemara, Tanina l'hada Tanur Rabbanan. Actually, our Mishnah is teaching what we learned in the Braisa, the Parash Azika Talis, if a ox did damage to a talis, or talis Azika Parah, or talis did damage to a parah, that means there was a talis on the road, and on the street, and the parah walked on the talis and tripped, and got damaged, and I'm Taitse Parah B'talis. We don't say that the parah should go to the damaged party, that the parah should go to the Baal Talis, or Talis the parah. Well, Shonash B'damim, we always make an evaluation according to what exactly happened. This is Machloikas Rishonim, how to understand the Gemara. Is the Gemara speaking about two different situations? Two different examples. One example was Parah Shazika Talis, And another example the Gemara is referring to is a case of Talish and Zikapara. That's where most Rishonim explain the Gemara. Some Rishonim explain that the Gemara is referring to one case, that a Parah and a Talis encountered each other, and when they encountered each other, damage was done, and the damage, the Parah got damaged, the Talis got damaged, we don't say they just make an exchange. So I saw that the Rishonim and the Achronim are all very troubled by this Gemara. Why would we think that if a Parah does damage to the Talis, so the Baal HaTalis should just take the Parah, or vice versa? What does that mean? So Ramesha in the Dibros Moshe has a very interesting approach in how to explain the Gemara. He says that we would think that the obligation that one has when his Parah does damage to a Talis, or vice versa, is not a financial obligation. It's not a compensatory obligation. It's rather an oinish. It's a punishment. If my talis did damage to your parah, if my parah did damage to your talis, there's an oinish that I have to receive for this happening. And maybe the oinish is that I should take the parah, or you should take the talis. Teaches us the Gemara, which is very much consistent to the way we're understanding the Mishnah, that this is not an inyan, it's not an issue of oinshim, of punishments. Rather, what it is an issue of in our Gemara is purely an issue of financial compensation. Others explain that the Sma and other Rishonim attempt to explain that our Gemara is referring to a situation where it seems that if my Parah did damage to your Talis, the value of the damage is the value of the Parah. And therefore the Gemara is suggesting just take the Parah or just take the Talis. Says the Gemara that wouldn't be acceptable. What has to be done is that we have to actually clearly evaluate what the damage was. And some Mefarshim go a step further, that in order for you to be able to take an item that belongs to me, we have to have Gemira Stas. I have to give it up, understanding that I am supposed to lose it. How can Gemira Stas be accomplished? The only way that Gemira Stas could be properly accomplished, it says the Gemara, is when we do a proper financial assessment. Anything less will not be considered Gemira Stas and will not be acceptable. Continues the Gemara. The Mishnah spoke about a case of Shava Kesef. What does that mean? It says the Tanur Rabbanan, Shava Kesef, Shein Bezdin Neskakim, El Melamed, Shein Bezdin Neskakim, El Nechasim Sheshel Chrayis. That the court does not take from the mazik only if the mazik owns property. Avam kadam nizik b'tafis matatlin. If the nizik seized tam matatlin, bezdin goyvim mahem, then the bezdin will allow it to happen. Amamar, so we just said, shava kesef, melamed, it comes to teach us, she'ein bezdin v'skakim, Elan Chosim She'en Lamechrayis. Bezdin only will collect from a mazik if he has real estate. Ask the Gemara my mashma. Why would we say that Shava Kesef only refers to real estate? But before we go further, the Rishonim are very disturbed in understanding even the Havamin of the Gemara. Does the Gemara suggest that only someone who owns real estate would be held responsible if his animal does damage, and someone else will not be responsible? So says the Shach, he limits the understanding of the Gemara. He says, of course, a mazik is always responsible. It doesn't make a difference if the mazik only owns metalplin and he doesn't own real estate. What he says the Brisa means to say is that if the mazik wants to pay metatlin, but he owns karka, the Brice is teaches us that we take the karka of the mazik and we don't take his metatlin. The reason we're assuming that shava kesef means real estate, because real estate, any money that's spent for it is its value. Because as we've learned many times, the Torah speaks about the parasha of Noah. overcharging. But that if somebody overcharges more than a sixth, the deal is void. It's considered a null. And the Gemara, but that doesn't apply by karka. A machloik is why it doesn't apply by karka. Some say it's exeris a kasif. Others say because the Torah, because real estate doesn't really have a fixed value, and therefore that's what it means by shavu kasif. However, the Ramban does point out that even though the dinim of a nor do not apply by karka, certainly the avera of a nor applies by karka. And if somebody overcharged by karka, the halacha is that he did the avera of a nor. Furthermore, Tosfos and other Rishonim want to suggest that even though the regular din of a nor doesn't apply by karka, if I overcharged by a sixth, if I overcharged by double, if I double the charge, then a nor applies even by karka. Because my new davishayin lo nor, because karka is considered shavu kesef, kol kesef, because they are, as we just explained, no dinim of a nor by karka. Ask the Gemara, but avodim shtaris nami nayim a nor. Elam aruva davan nikna bekesef. It refers to karka because karka, real estate, can be bought, a kinyan can be affected with kesef. Metaplin, as we've learned, require mesira or meshicha. Ask the Gemara, vod mishtaris nami nikna bekesef. Says the Gemara, elam aruva shava kesef v'loy kesef v'hani kula kesef ninu. What the Braisa means to say is because anything that any items, slaves, storis, and metaplin are like money because they represent value that can be transported from place to place. And that's what the Braisa means, that all these items can be used to pay damages. Ramalei Rav Yehuda bar Chinan l'Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua. Tana, Shava Kesef. We learned in a Braisa, Bezdin will only look at karka. V'tanya, Yoshel, Rabbi Shava Kesef, Afil Subin. You could even pay the most poor quality craps for a hezek. Says the Gemara, Hachamai Skinen. Usually, the court can take even metaltlin. This price that says that you only could take real estate is talking about Yisoymi, where the person, the mazik, died, and the Yisoymim inherited the property. So if they inherited real estate, that real estate is held responsible to pay for his hezek, but not metaltlin. Ask the Gemara, if we're saying that the price is referring to Yisoymim, he'd be asking me, Eim Yisoyfer, im kadem nizik v'tavos metaplin, that if the nizik went and took the metaplin, bezden govin lo mehem, then he could keep it. But Ibi asked me, it was saying that the Braisa is referring to Yisoymim, Abai Gezden Goyalahem, why does the court collect from him, from them? We just said that the metaplin of the Yisoymim are not held responsible for the Hezek. Answers the Gemara, Rava Amar Rav Nachman, Shetafas Mechaim. We're referring to a case where the Nizik seized these metaplin before the Mazik died. Hakanami Shetafas Mechaim. The next case of the Mishnah was Bifnei Bezdin. Prat, it comes to exclude, L'moich and Chosov, that somebody sold his property, V'akachoyel Chubezdin, and then he goes to Bezdin, then the Bezdin will not collect from the property, because he doesn't own the property anymore. Shmamina, Lover, L'moich and Chosov, if somebody borrowed money from someone else, and put up his property as a mortgage, and then he sold the property, and then he comes to Bezdin, and Bezdin Govelhem, if he has other properties, the Bezdin will not take the property that he sold. They will not go to the customers who bought that property. But that's not true. We know that if property is mortgaged, the halacha is that Bezdin does collect the debt from that property. So rather the halacha is El Prat LeBezdin Hajoitis. There's a concept of smicha. It's not the smicha that we're familiar with. Smicha means that the Bezdin has a smicha back to the Bezdin of Moshe Rabbeinu to collect. Only such a Bezdin could collect knas and certain dina tairis. The halacha is that what we're learning now is that this Bezdin of Hedyotis cannot be a Bezdin to collect a Knas. In certain cases of Hezek, as we're going to learn in tomorrow's shir, fall under the category of Knas, and therefore such a Bezdin is not authorized to involve themselves in such a Din Torah.